please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verses 1 through 3. We'll read several other verses with that. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We'll read that passage responsively. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you. Psalm 84, verse 11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, let's read this passage responsively. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now skip down to verse number 7. You read with me, Ephesians 1, verse number 7. Ready? "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." I'll read verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will." Let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, the world walks through darkness and falls and stumbles and seems like everything they see is negative. And yet we walk into your house with your people. We have your book that you've given to us word for word, and we have the hope and the promise that things aren't quite so bad. Thank you for being our God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we listen intently so that we have the right point of view, your point of view, about life, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you have your Bibles open there, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 again, please. I have given a title to tonight's sermon. I call it, "You Are Rich." You are rich. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Look back at me, if you will, and you can leave your Bible open. We'll use it off and on, looking at a couple of verses here. Now, here we start out the book of Ephesians, and God, for some reason, allows us to be told about this thing of all spiritual blessings. He starts the chapter out that way. So often, if God starts out a chapter, if God starts out one of the books in the Bible with a certain concept or certain truth, the theme of it kind of carries all the way through, and that is definitely the case in the book of Ephesians. Now, God, through His Holy Spirit, guides Paul to write this scripture. Paul would have made an excellent bank president, if you ask me. Paul proves that he's learned from God about the most prosperous of investments. There's some in this world who make millions, but they're truly poor. They are so busy making their next million, they have not invested in true happiness. There are others in this world who seem to be very common people who are truly rich. You and I, we're basically common folks. But we have a richness according to the Bible, and we ought to recognize that richness. You take, for instance, Ephesians 2:6, the Bible says, "And hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, you and I have the privilege of sitting side by side, and one day we'll actually get to do it. We'll be in heaven, and we'll figure out who was rich. What was it, the Wall Street tycoons that died and went to hell? They're going to realize how poor they really were. And you and I are going to get to heaven, and we're going to sit in heavenly places and at a meal with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those that used to look down their nose at us because we were poor trash, they're going to figure out who the trash was. and they'll figure out who was really rich. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Now here the Bible says that God, by our faith in God, there are so many things that we can have. If we believe, we can receive them. Again, looking at the common man, you and I, but what God makes available to us through faith. Brother Bush, you read this earlier, Psalm 84:11, the Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Let me tell you something. There's no lost person out in the world that has available to them that promise. God said to you and I, if we will walk uprightly, no good thing will He withhold from us. You talk about a powerful credit card. You talk about a credit card with no limit. Wow. The God of the universe says to you and I, I'm not going to withhold any good thing from you. The God of heaven comes to you and I, common everyday folks, and He says, but if you'll live right, if you'll believe and show faith, you can receive what you want. And He talks about our setting in heavenly places. Now, wealth is a peculiar thing. Many strive with all their hearts to fill their hands with things like stocks, bonds, gold, silver, houses, land, bank accounts. And though their hands are full, their hearts are empty. They are things rich, but their happiness poor. Very few ever have both monetary riches and richness in life. Some do, but very few get both. In the scripture, we see that riches and sorrow, generally speaking, go hand in hand, and they're almost Siamese twins. Let me read a verse to you from 1 Timothy 6:10. The Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Let me tell you something. Having a bunch of money does not make one happy. The Bible says here that the love of money is the root of all evil, but then God goes on and tells us there's so many people, they chase after money, and then their life is full of sorrow. It's full of sorrow. Now, we have a richness that God makes available to us, and we're going to get to it here in a second, but don't get the idea that money is going to make you happy. Money does not make people happy. Jesus makes people happy. You know, there's nothing wrong with making millions if you do it right, and when you get it, if you do right with it. But most people do not. Most people that get a bunch of money, they let it eat them up, and it turns them sour in life, and they get more attached to things than to people and things than to God. Now, in today's message, I want to talk about spiritual wealth, eternal wealth. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul declares to us that as God's people, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. Have you heard and you've seen, and I think they still do this, the Publisher's Clearinghouse winners. And how many of you ever heard of Publisher's Clearinghouse winners? They show up at your door. They ring the doorbell. And surprise, they've got balloons and streamers and flowers. They say you've won the Publisher's Clearinghouse grand prize of $500,000. And then they have somebody that climbs out of this van and they show you a 3-foot-tall, 6-foot-long check for $500,000. And the surprise winner is caught on tape saying, "Thank you, Publisher's Clearinghouse. You made my day." Why, sure, anybody come and tell you you just won $500,000, that'd make you happy. But let me tell you something. It's hard for us to accept, but Jesus has made you and I richer than Publisher's Clearinghouse has ever made anybody. We may not have access to all of our riches right now. It's probably best that we don't, but we have access to an awful lot. And one day you'll see how rich you really were. Let me teach you some things. I'll teach you some Bible this evening. But folks, be careful. be careful getting down and out about what goes on in the world. And of course, we have to have money to survive. And of course, we have to have money to pay our bills. And I'm not against people having money. But folks, there's something bigger and better than that. There's something that's more important than that. And there's something that we have that makes us rich. We have a richness in Christ Jesus. And I want to point it out to you, if I could, this evening. For instance, let me say this to you. Number one, you and I, we are rich by redemption. We are rich by redemption. Look at your Bible there. Glance at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 1, 7 says this, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." Look back at me. We are rich by redemption. Hey, born again Christian, you're rich. You say, how so? By redemption. Here the Bible talks about that we have redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace. There's an old outline that I heard many, many years ago. It's an outline for the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. And it goes this, G is God's, R, riches and righteousness, A, at, C, Christ's, E, expense. You and I, grace to us is we have God's riches and righteousness at Christ's expense. Hey, that's what grace did to you. That's what grace did for you. You have the riches and the righteousness of God, and Jesus Christ paid the bill for you to have that. You see, we are rich by what we call redemption. The Holy Spirit inspires these words through Paul's writing. In Paul's day, the most common use of the word redemption had to do with slavery. The Ephesians definitely knew what it meant to be redeemed from slavery. No doubt, at the church of Ephesus, they had members who were slaves or had been set free and been redeemed out of slavery. Now, listen carefully. The law that God had given to Moses teaches us that if a man lost all that he had, and he couldn't pay his creditors or he couldn't pay his bills, he himself could sell himself and become a slave to pay off or to work off his debt. So what happened is, somebody owed somebody some money. They couldn't pay it. They had fallen behind. What they would end up doing in the end is they would make themselves, they would virtually, in a way, sell themselves to the person that they owed. Then they would go and become a slave to that person, and they would work off their debt. After becoming a slave, if a friend came by and tried to pay off the debt for you, if the creditor didn't want that, the creditor could reject that. Let's say that Brother Bush, let's say you couldn't pay your bills. And so you had to sell yourself into slavery. And now you're going to go to work for someone, and you're going to work for them, and you're going to be their slave until you pay off in labor what you owe for them. Well, a Brother Nash came by and said, "Craig Bush is my friend, and I want to pay this man what Brother Bush owes him." They could reject Brother Nash's gift. They could say, "No, nope, we won't take that." But if a family member came by, and if your dad came by, and your dad went to the person you owed money to, and the person to whom now you're a slave, if your dad came by and say, "I want to pay off his bill," they were honor bound to let your dad pay off your bill. It had to be a relative. It had to be what they call a kinsman, someone that was related. You want to read about it someday, you can look in Leviticus 25, verse 47, 48, and 49. Let me explain something to you, folks. You and I, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. You see, we had sinned, and there was a debt that had to be paid, and we could not pay the debt on our own. Hey, listen, this is what happened. Have you ever heard someone say that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer? You see, that means this. We were the slaves. Jesus came by, and Jesus said, "I want to pay their debt." And He said, they are mine. We're a part of the same family. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Do you know who paid off your debt for you? God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have been redeemed from being a slave to sin by our kinsman redeemer. And just so you know it, you're rich because of the way you were redeemed. You were redeemed by Jesus Christ. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember it says, in whom we have been, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You say, other people, their freedom may have been purchased with some gold or silver. You say, what did it take to purchase my freedom? What did it take to purchase your freedom? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. You talk about a ransom of powerful value. We're talking about the blood. The book of Acts talks about God purchased a church with His own blood. Flowing through the veins of Jesus Christ was the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. I'm here to tell you, the blood of God, the blood of Jesus Christ is more valuable than silver or gold. It purchased you eternal salvation. Listen, you're rich. You are rich. You were on your way to hell, and Jesus came along and said, I am their kinsman. I will redeem them. And the debt was paid in full with gold. Nah, that's piddly. With silver? No, that's so minimal in value. The blood of Jesus Christ is what was paid to redeem you. You are rich by redemption. But let's go on. Secondly, you are rich by inheritance. By inheritance. You got your Bible there. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 11 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11. The Bible says here, look at the first part of it. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You see, we are first of all rich by redemption. Then we are rich by inheritance. Let's go back to the story of the slave. When a slave was set free, he was then obviously poor. Remember, Brother Bush had not been able to pay his debtors, and so he was stuck. He had to sell himself into slavery to pay off his bill. Let's say nobody comes and gets him out of his jam. He has to work his way all the way through. When they would let him go, he wouldn't have any money. He may have worked hard for many years, but he never earned anything for himself. All of his earnings were going toward paying off his debt. I doubt that ever a slave received a severance package on the day of his freedom. That day that you and I were set free. Remember, we were slaves to sin. Jesus came, used the most precious thing, the blood of Jesus Christ, to redeem us or to set us free from the debt that we owed because of our sin. Get this. On that very day, we became heirs to an eternal inheritance. See, that's what it means here in Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So, get this. Not only did Jesus come by, pay off our debt in full, we're rich by redemption, but then he said, as of that very day, I am giving you an inheritance, and it's an eternal inheritance. You know, well, that's what happened to us the day we got saved. We inherited a fortune by way of redemption. Let me read to you a passage of scripture. Peter also teaches this thing of inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5 says, Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hey, you have an inheritance, but let me tell you something. Don't worry about this inheritance. It is very secure in the bank of God's promises. Here it says this inheritance is incorruptible. Here it says this inheritance is undefiled. Here it says this inheritance fadeth not away. Here it says this inheritance is reserved
in heaven, and God said, I redeemed you, and then I immediately, because you became my child, I made you an heir to what I have. You have an inheritance, and you have been redeemed by your Heavenly Father. That means you start with a full cut of an inheritance. Now, I want to recommend something to you. I want to recommend something to you. Now, you're saved and you're going to go to heaven. You can't lose your salvation. It even says here, who are kept by the power of God. They are kept by the power. You're not kept by your power. You're kept by the power of God. You're kept by that power. But let me say to you, you won't lose your salvation. You will have the inheritance of heaven. But there's more to it than just going to heaven. There are rewards in heaven. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose some of your rewards. You misbehave, you can lose your rewards. Listen to this verse. 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. When it's talking about look to yourselves, it means keep an eye on yourself. Keep yourself out of trouble now. Why? Don't you be stubborn with your Heavenly Father. Not only are you going to go to heaven, but there are rewards, and He has a full inheritance for you. But if you're not careful, you could mess up some of your inheritance. You won't mess up the part of your inheritance that assures you a place in heaven. That is taken care of by your salvation, by grace, through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you have other things that you inherit, and you want to make sure you get your full reward. Don't bring reproach to the family name, if you will. See, your daddy, your Heavenly Father, your Redeemer, your kinsman Redeemer, he did leave you an inheritance. But, he said, you're not going to get the full reward unless you behave yourself. That's one reason to live right. You got to live right. There's some rewards. And so, you and I, we are rich by redemption. You and I, we are rich by inheritance. Let's go on. Thirdly, we are rich by ownership. By ownership. Again, you've got your Bible open there, Ephesians chapter 1. Now look at verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now look back at me. Here, in the day when people paid off their debts by becoming slaves, if they so desired, after... Let me start over here. Here the Bible is telling us that we are rich by ownership. The last part of that verse, let me read it to you again. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, I was redeemed. I was given an inheritance. Now I'm finding out to whom I belong. You see, somebody bought me. Somebody then made me part of the family. Somebody promised that I was going to inherit something fantastic from them. Now I'm finding out who it is, to who do I belong. In the day when people paid off their debt, they'd become a slave, and they'd worked off their debt. Here's what they could do. After paying their debt, they could willingly remain with their master and become a willing slave. If they did this, here's what they would do. If a person said, I've paid off my debt, I'm not going to go back out in the world, I'm not going to go out there, I want to stay right here with the master that I have been working for, and they would let them do that, and this is what they would do. If they did this, they would bore a little hole in their ear, and it was a way to show that they were a willing slave. See, they said, I've worked off my debt, but I don't want to go home. I love my master. My master loves me. I'm in this routine of working. Master, if you're willing, I would like to stay right here. I would like to serve you. So what they would do, they would take about like an ice pick, if you will. They would bore a hole through the ear of that slave. And that would show that slave was no longer a bond slave, but that slave was a willing slave. Now the same is true in the spiritual realm. We get saved, then we want to serve God. We want to serve God not because we have to, but because of what He's done for us. We don't serve Him because we fear Him. We don't serve Him because we have to. We serve Him because we love Him and we want to. We were enslaved. Our kinsman redeemer came and bought us freedom by the blood of the Lamb. He immediately gave us an inheritance. And you and I, if we have any sense, turn around and say, you know what? Anybody that loves me that much, anybody that's given me a free inheritance, anybody would have shed their blood to buy my freedom. I think I just want to serve Him forever. I want to just serve Him forever. We get saved, and God places a seal upon us, not upon our ear, upon our hearts, if you will. And this is accepted by the Christian because we appreciate our salvation, how Jesus paid the price to make us free. He redeemed us out of the slave market of sin, helped us to escape the damnation of hell, gave us an inheritance. We turn around and say, God, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay right here with you. We now, by choice, are owned by God. When they would bore that hole through the slave's ear, it meant that slave had chosen, out of love, to stay with his Redeemer. Boy, that makes that slave richer. And you and I are richer. You know, I am willing to be a slave to the richest of the rich. The royal crest or seal that's on our ownership documents is that of God Himself. You know, I have a passport. Tells people I'm a United States citizen. When I go to other countries, I have to use that thing. My driver's license tells people that I live in Georgetown, West Virginia. Tells people that when I use my passport, it tells people I'm a citizen of the United States of America. But can I tell you something? I have a birth certificate that tells people I was born in Indiana. But you know something? If you look at my second birth certificate, it tells that I've been born of God. If you look, you know, I recently got a new truck, and if you've not seen it, you really need to see it. It's really nice. It's silver, by the way. It's a gray silver. Somebody said it was blue. It's not blue. I might put some blue flames on it, but it's gray silver. But it won't be long. I'll get the title for that truck. That means that my name will show up on there. It means I own that truck. Now, God has the title to me. And I am glad that God has my title. Jeff Owens is described on his title, but he belongs to God. And I am not ashamed of that. I am excited and honored that God owns me. You know, I am owned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That makes me rich. That makes me rich. We were in Washington, D.C. yesterday for the day. There were helicopters coming in, and I seen some limousines, and I recently heard that our president-elect is getting his new limousine. You know, that limousine, probably pretty proud to be owned or used by the President of the United States, but I'll tell you this right now. The helicopters that I mentioned earlier, they said President-elect had gone to the Lincoln Memorial yesterday. Well, we were at the Lincoln Memorial yesterday. I think he and I were supposed to meet. I was going to give him some advice about the future of our country, and he was late. I was on time. But we didn't get to talk. But you know, that limousine that would have taken the president-elect from wherever those helicopters landed him to the Lincoln Memorial, those limousines might have thought they were a pretty big thing. Pretty big stuff. Limousine carrying the president of the United States, belonging to the president of the United States. Let me tell you something. I belong to God. God owns me. And if you're saved, God owns you. You are sealed like that slave has had his ear bore. That was a picture of ownership. You and I, we are sealed into the day of redemption. And that seal says that you are God's possession. Wow. I belong to God. I am rich. How so? By who owns me? I am rich. How? By inheritance. I have been given an inheritance. How did you get the inheritance? Well, I'm rich by redemption. Well, what was the problem? I was a sinner, couldn't pay my debt, was going to have to go to hell. Somebody came along that loved me and paid my debt. Who paid your debt? God's Son. What did he pay it with? His blood. His blood. You talk about rich. Hey, those of you that have a hard time with your self-worth, God must have thought you were pretty valuable. He shed his Son's blood to buy you back. He immediately made you a part of the family. When he made you a part of the family, he said, you get a share in all my wealth and all that I have. You're going to inherit it. And you get to walk around and say, guess who I belong to? I belong to God. Not only that, we are rich by redemption. We are rich by inheritance. We are rich by ownership. But we're also rich by association. You got your Bible there, open it to Ephesians chapter 2. Do it quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Remember, they start out this book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, talking about these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then he begins to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, I said we are rich by our associations. It says here, but now, Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, stay with me for a second here. See, it says the word both there. It says hath made both one. I believe it's referring here to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't mix back then much. But when the Jews and the Gentiles, when they both got saved, it tore down a wall between them, and they had a rich fellowship that they could not have before. You see, you and I, we're rich by redemption. We are rich because of an inheritance. We are rich because who owns us? Now we're rich because of who we get to associate with or who we get to be around. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Look at it real quick. Ephesians 2:19 says this, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know what that means? You and I, we're fellow citizens. We sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Do you know that you and I, we have a fellowship? You and I, we have a camaraderie. We have a bond. There are people that come and visit our church. They're in the world, and they come here, and they see us having a good time and interacting and enjoying one another, and they almost feel like foreigners. Now, we don't try to make them feel that way. And you're talking about one of the friendliest churches in the whole world, right here. We make our visitors feel at home. But you know something? People come here and they feel a bit like a foreigner. They feel a bit like a stranger. But when they get saved, they get the richness of the fellowship of God's people. You and I are rich by redemption. We are rich by inheritance. We are rich by ownership. But we're rich by association. We have each other. It says in verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You and I are being built together. Together we make up the church of God. Our fellowship here in the local New Testament church causes certain loneliness to flee away. Our burdens are shared by true, caring believers. That makes us rich. I said this morning, as I was preaching my sermon, I said to any lost person in the house, I said, well, I feel sorry for you. I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you make it. I don't see how lost people make it with the burdens of life. Thank God that you and I, when the burdens of life come, we can come together. We have a unification. We have people that will pat us on the back and pray with us and love us and say, you can make it. You can take it. I've been through it. You can do it. Hey, you're rich because you have the association of the saints of God. And that's what it says here. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Born again people have strong ties. True believers have a unique fellowship. There is a oneness of spirit. Romans 10:12 says this, For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Did you know something? Everybody gets saved the same way. God said, my richness, that I am going to give to you in salvation, everybody gets it the same way. And when you get into the family of God, when it comes to salvation, there is no class system. Not at all. Not at all. Jews and Greeks have the same Lord and share together the same richness of salvation. You and I are rich because of those with whom we get to associate. You say, who are those? We get to associate with other born-again saints. Hey, we get to associate with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, we get to associate with the God of the universe. We get to associate more closely with the angels of God as they watch out for us. We are rich by association. Yeah, the world doesn't get associated with the Holy Spirit. I don't think that the Holy Spirit is all about a feeling. I think He's all about obedience to the Word of God. But, you get to go through church services where the Holy Spirit of God's presence is obvious. Have you been through some, have you ever been to a church where the Holy Spirit of God's presence is not obvious? Really kind of a bummer. It is a lonely religious feeling. I am thrilled that I get to associate with the Spirit of the God of the universe. Folks, don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly when we watch God come down in the power of the Holy Spirit and save sinners and change lives, and the Spirit of God takes over a service, and sometimes the air's so thick you can cut it. You just know that God's there. What a powerful association. We are rich. How? We are rich by redemption. We are rich then by inheritance. We are rich by ownership, and we are rich by association. Let's go on. We are also rich because we have access to God through prayer with great boldness and with great confidence. One last time, I want you to look in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 12. Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Access to what? God's throne. You and I, we're rich. See, we were slaves. We couldn't pay off our bill. Jesus comes along and says, I've got what it takes to pay off your bill. He comes along. He, with His blood, redeems us. We're rich because the most valuable, valuable blood ever was used to buy us back. He immediately said, now that you're part of the family, I've got an inheritance for you. I am going to have ownership papers for you, and if anybody asks, you just tell them you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to seal you with my ownership. I'm going to let you associate with my angels, associate with my Spirit, associate with me, associate with the saints of God. And then, if you ever need anything, now that I've bought you, now that I've given you an inheritance, now that I own you, now that I let you associate with one another, if you ever need anything, you just come to my throne and get it. Just come right in. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness and access. Access to what? God. I have access to God. Wow. What kind of access? Bold access. Here it says confident access. What wealth? To enter God's throne room by prayer and ask for what we want. We were at the White House yesterday. And there was a gate that opened up, and a cement truck came out. We really needed to get from the side of the White House we were on to the other side. The shortest path would have been for us to go through that big steel gate when it opened up. But we didn't have access. I thought about sending one of our good men to test it. We'll send them through. Let them become a sacrificial lamb. Be a great sermon illustration. Get a little press coverage. But we couldn't go in there. There were the big bars and the gates all around the White House. We couldn't go in there. Nope, we couldn't. I can beat that. I was with God today. I was in the very presence of the God of the universe. I'm rich. And you're rich. All believers are invited to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies and make their request known to their God. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." You see, this access to God opens up the divine treasure house of God to us. Folks, I don't think we pray enough. We're rich. We're rich. No person on earth is as wealthy as one who walks with God. You can go right to the throne room of God boldly and confidently. You say, to get what? The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Let me tell you what shape I was in. I was a sinner. I could not pay my bill. I was a slave to sin. I had no hope. And guess who showed up? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When they said the price to pay is going to be high, He said, "Don't worry. There's plenty in my account. I can cover this." Say, what do you intend to use to pay for Jeff Owens' sin debt? And Jesus said, "I'm going to use my blood." And all of hell said, "That'll be fine. That'll pay it in full." And Jesus Christ shed His blood and He redeemed me. And I thought, boy, that's enough. Oh, that's so good. And He said, "Come here, son. Not only did I redeem you, here's your papers for your inheritance, buddy. You're one of my kids now. All of heaven, it's all available to you. I didn't just save you. You're part of my family. You're one of my kids. You get an inheritance." He said, "Not only that, here's your ownership papers. See that stamp right there? You can just show anybody you want. If they ever ask who you belong to, you tell them you belong to the God of the universe. You can't get better credentials than that." Say, "Brother Owens, I'm just a lowly, low life. My life and my past is so bad. I don't have much of a background." Hey, if you're born again, you're a blue blood. You are a blue blood. You say, "Why? You belong to God. God's seal of ownership is upon your papers." Not only that, He owns us. And He said, "I'm going to associate with you. And you're going to associate with my Holy Spirit. I'm going to put somebody inside you that will be there 24/7 and take care of you. You'll always have someone to associate with. Then you're going to associate with the other saints of God. Then if you ever need anything, just come see me. Because I'll be there to meet your needs." You have bold, confident, immediate access. You don't have to wait in the waiting room. You'll come right in to my throne room, God said. That's what He did for us when He redeemed us. I'm feeling richer all the time. Huh? We may eat a lot of hot dogs and rice, peanut butter, but we're richer than the lost blue bloods of the world. Now, one last thing and I'm done. Well, why are we rich? What is this all about? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I just want you to notice one thing about what I've said today. I've given you 6 points about this richness, but I noticed something about every one of these points. Every one of them uses the words, "in whom." In whom. God said, "I made you rich." You say, "How?" In whom, not how. In whom. Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption." You know who that whom is? That's Jesus. In whom. In whom? Rich by redemption. In whom? Jesus. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? Rich. Inheritance rich. In whom? Jesus. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, you heard the word of truth in the gospel, and you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are owned. We have ownership richness. In whom? Jesus. Ephesians 2:22, in whom you are builded together. What is that? Richness in association. In whom? Jesus. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access. In whom? In whom? We have richness. We can go right into the throne room of God. In whom? Jesus. We're rich. We may not look like it. We might not always act like it. But if you're born again, you're rich. In whom? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Can I tell you something? You got to think of him more often. He's the one that made you rich. He made you rich. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that is why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. In whom? If you're here this evening and you've never